Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, I'm Associate Pastor Brock Williamson here at the church. Excited to share with you today a message for you. Looking at what God wants to do in our lives. I mean, that is the reason you go to church. I don't know if that's the reason you're here today, but that's what you're going to get, all right, is some encouragement to push you in your relationship. Maybe not push, maybe a little push, to further your and deepen your relationship with God, okay? That's the goal. That's what I'd love to have happen for you. And, you know, most of you know this, but if you don't, if you're new, new to me, whatever it is, I don't, like, yell at people. But when I get excited, my volume just naturally, I'm a toddler, okay? Like, my volume just goes up, all right? So if I get loud, just know I'm not yelling at anybody. I'm just excited, okay? All right, just like to put that disclaimer out there occasionally. But when we look at our relationship with God, when we look at why we're here, what I was just kind of talking about, why we come to church, why we're here, it's this deepening of our relationship with God. That's the whole goal. I don't go to the gym just because they have free cable, okay? You go to the gym because there's weights and there's exercise equipment, okay? And you want to get in better shape, right? It'd be weird if you just grabbed your bag of Doritos and sat on the leg press machine and just watched TV and didn't do anything. I'm sure you have. Don't rat me out, Jess. No, I'm just kidding. I think that's how we first met. Jess was, she worked at Anytime, and I got a gym membership, and I first met Jess when she was there. But, but really, it's the reason we come to church is because we're trying to grow in our relationship with God. We're trying to learn something. We're trying to have something press us forward because, you know, when I've looked at my own life, when I've looked at other people's lives, and not from a judgmental point of view, but from an observation point of view as a pastor, you kind of watch because you got to take care of the flock, right? That's your job as a pastor. And so you watch how people are doing, and you pick up on if there's something going on in their life, if they're going through something, and it's not always your business to go and talk to them about it. You wait, but you do keep an eye on it, and you see these things. And what I've seen is that, you know, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backward. There's very little time where you're just stagnant. Because when you're stagnant in your relationship with God, reality is this, there's negative effects happening. So it is essentially moving backwards. Like you become entombed, you become cocooned, you become whatever other word I wish I knew about just insulated from what's going on when you become stagnant. And that's something we can't do, and it's the whole reason we're coming to church, why we're here, is so that we don't do that, so that we're constantly growing in our relationship with God. But there's something that can happen, and there's something that is happening, and there's something that might be happening in your life right now that you showed up here today and you dressed different. You look different. You act different. You talk different. And then as soon as you leave here, it all changes, and it's all different. Church is not a two-hour car wash to get you clean for the week. We are here to learn something and to grow and to move forward. We don't just come to seek God on a Sunday and then seek ourselves on a Monday. We can't continue this path going forward because then we will be incarcerated in sin. We will be locked up. The chains will be just tighter than ever. And you will be dragged down into this world. We cannot put off our old self just for the couple hours, hopefully a couple hours, on a Sunday. Just to appear to the people. just to look good for everybody else and even before God. You are. I'm not saying that you don't come here and you're not genuine. I think you can come here and be genuine, but then as soon as you leave here, you forget. You just forget who you are. You forget what you've learned. You forget what you saw. You forgot what God called you to do. And all of a sudden, the alarm goes off and it's time to go to work. It's time to get the to-do list done. It's time to find a way to hang out with friends. I need my relaxation time too. I got to find all the money in the world and collect it because that means I'm successful. And then all of a sudden my kids grow up and they don't like me. What? We have to look at this differently. We can't keep coming to church and just seeking him here and thinking that's going to get us through. Trust me, I work out once a month. You can tell. It ain't getting me through. It's getting me through my drawers quick. I got to get new ones all the time, but really. Really, you can't come on a Sunday and think tomorrow my relationship with God is going to be great because I went yesterday. We put off these things. When you come into this room, when you come into this place, you know the sin. You know it. You remember it. The sin you struggle with, where you constantly trip up, where you constantly struggle, where you just can't seem to get over it, or you enjoy it, and so you've been trying not to address it. It provides the validation, and so far you ain't been caught. You ain't been called out. You ain't had the repercussions. Because I want you to know something. There are practical reasons why God instructs us not to do certain things. Yes, there's a spiritual reason called hell. But there are also practical things on why he instructs us to do what we should do, because there's a lot of earthly practical things that we'll stay out of trouble if we just abide by his word. And if we do get in trouble for abiding by his word, that's the trouble we are not supposed to care about. Who cares? I'm living according to his word. It's a very pure place when you're living according to God and you have nothing to hide. The weight is off your shoulders and it is so much easier to serve God. But when we constantly go through this, well, on a Sunday, I'm going to hide everything. You take off. To get dressed for church, you got to get, this is going to sound weird, but follow me. You got to get undressed. Because otherwise we'd be walking around with like 1,000 different outfits on, it's all stacked up, and it just look weird, okay? But really, you have to get undressed. But the problem is when you get home, some of y'all are going to relate to this. As soon as you get home, comfy clothes back on. I was just out and about all day. I got to get my comfy clothes on. You're doing that spiritually. You're doing that with God. God calls you to something, and it's big, and it's awesome, and it's inspirational, it's motivational. And I had an awesome time during worship at the altar, and I really sought him, and I really, okay, but I really did all of this, and I had this moment, and the preacher preached a good message, usually if boss man's preaching, but really, he preached a good message, and I feel motivated, and going to do this. And then as soon as I get home, comfort settles back in, because you went right back to where you were. 2 Peter, verse 22, of them, the Proverbs, it's referencing an Old Testament proverb, 26:11, but in 2 Peter, a dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. It's talking about us and our human carnal desire just returning to our sin, like a dog returns to its vomit. You ever seen that? Gross. But they like always do it. It's like if you got a dog in the house and they puke, you just like, if you can handle it, just wait 5 minutes. This is really gross. My wife would never let that happen. If I was living all by myself with a dog, yeah, okay, well, you got that? All right, I'll clean up the stain, but you're taking care of that. A dog returns to its vomit. We are not dogs. We are humanoid people. It was redundant, but we are people. We are human. What it's talking about is the nature of a dog. It can't control itself. That's why dogs are dogs and we're people. Animals are animals and we're people. Okay? Can't control its nature. What about you and your human nature? Your carnal desires, your sinful issues. You put it off long enough to go to church, but where is it the rest of the week? When is the last time, you, on a Sunday, you're up here at the altar, and you're worshiping, you're kneeling. When's the last time you did this at home? When's the last time you did this when nobody was watching? When is the last time you looked at a scripture verse of meaning outside of church in a Bible study? When is the last time you read the Bible and not had some podcast read it for you? When is the last time you preached the gospel and didn't wait for me to do it? The church is never going to go anywhere. It is not the living church if the pastor is the only one responsible for getting people here. That is us. That is us, the living church. You get them in the door, I'll preach a message, sure. But you know how hard it is to get them in the door. So you have to work. You have to go to the field. You have to make ready the harvest. What are you talking about in your daily life? What are you dwelling on in your daily life? What are you posting about all the time? I get it. There are things that are really entertaining to learn about. You know what? I love sitting around with a group of my bros and talking about the Nephilim. And talking about, you know what that is? Read the Old Testament? Okay, anyway. Bigfoot. I'll sit around and talk about Bigfoot. I don't do this all the time. It's fun to talk about. I've had members of our congregation come and ask me, was the 6 days of creation literal 6 days? Or what was the time frame? I don't know. But let's talk about it. None of that matters to your salvation. None of that was a calling that you are supposed to have to go reach people. None of that matters. I hate to say it. There's probably a lot of, I don't think they'd be watching this online, but a lot of theologians, historians, Christian historical people who study it, whatever the word should be for them, all respect, they'd be so mad about me saying this. But it literally doesn't matter. There are scenarios where you will run into people and you will go to witness to them and they are intellects. And they want to ask these questions and they will not believe until you answer the questions. I want you to know it is well and good to answer those questions, to meet them at their intellect and try to do that. And it's good to stay informed and learn those things. But I want you to know something. The reality is this, they will run out of practical reasons to believe because belief is based on faith, which is based on things we do not understand and do not see. So if they cannot grasp the concept from the gate that it takes faith to believe, there is no answers that get you to believe in God. There really isn't. There's no practical answer to every question you have that will make you believe in God. The road ends and it's a leap of faith. The road ends in all these practical ways. And so when we spend our daily life, thinking about, I don't know, end times. Oh, it's got to be coming soon. The Euphrates, aliens, Sharia law, all this stuff, the grumblings. The great bear of the north or whatever, AI. Ooh. You know, again, it's not bad to like pay attention and learn a couple things. But But literally, it says nobody will know the day or the hour. So why do you try so hard? Is it your excuse to live how you want until the last minute and then hopefully get saved right before you go? Makes you feel safe in your lukewarmness? Because guess what? The end times and all these prophecies, they're cool and they're great. They're in the Bible and they're mysteries to us and all these things. We're not going to know the time or the hour. We're not going to know. So what that means is I should just be living right every day. Not just on Sundays. So what are we paying attention to? What are we looking at? What are we filling our heads with? What are we looking at and spending so much time reading and researching and doing and all this stuff when literally none of that has to do with the call of God on your life? What God's called you to do is be in relationship with Him and reach people. There are vocational calls and practical calls. You're called to go on a mission trip. You're called to quit this job and go here and do this. You're called to do, those things are all well and good and great, and I'm happy to hear that. I've also heard a lot of people say, well, I was called to do this. And I said, God's word doesn't back that up at all. What are you talking about? Just because you're a Christian, every time you put God called me does not give you justification to do whatever you want to do. You need to actually look at the word of God and say, does this calling actually make sense? Or does it contradict His word? The only way you know that is if you know His word. The only way you know His word is if you read His word and not just have it read to you by me, by Boss Man, by a podcast. Literally, it's so vital and important. It was in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. There's so much meaning to that. Our daily bread, the bread that was broken. We need Jesus Christ broken every single day. Because we are sinners. We are lost. We are. We need His grace every single day. We need our daily bread. But there's also bread that is sustenance for us. And that daily bread comes from God. It comes from God. And the only way that we will know these things, see these things, understand these things, live our life differently, is if we seek Him outside of Sunday. Sometimes I get so in my head because I'm like, literally, I feel like I preached this message last time I preached. Because it always boils down to the same thing. I can attack all different issues. You could bring up any political issue, world issue, cultural issue, all these different things. You could literally ask me anything. We could do a Q&A time. We're not going to. But we could do that. I would love to do it, but I don't know. Boss Man would be just like white knuckling his seat wherever he is. But what's he going to say? No, But when we look at this, then you ask any of those things, it's all going to boil down to, did you read God's word today? Do you know His word? Are you in relationship with Him? That's the thing. That's what it's supposed to be. Because here's the thing. There's salvation for each and every one of us, and that requires a certain level of intimacy, right? It is not by our works that we are saved. It's by Jesus dying on the cross. However, we engage in that and accept that gift by repenting, turning from our sin, giving ourselves to God, and saying, I don't want to live that way anymore. Salvation is a moment, and it takes faith. And you've heard me say this in so many sermons, but faith without works is dead. Works do not save you. Works come with faith. That moment of salvation, faith alone. But everything after that is works. You got to work. You got to bust your butt. You got to put in the hours. You got to put in the time. You got to give it all to Him. You got to look at Him and say, what am I supposed to do today? I don't know. I'm not sitting here bragging about myself. This is not a pat on my back. But I'll tell you what, my first instinct, like for 5 days in a row, I've just been waking up at either 4 a.m. or 5 a.m., just boom, whoa. No matter how late I go to bed, I'm just boom. My first thought is always, God, what are you trying to tell me something? Why did you wake me up? Oh, wait, no, it was crying in the other room. Okay, never mind. But the first instinct, when's the last time you got woken up in the middle of the night and you thought, okay, is God telling me something right now? Or is it just, oh, I got to go to the bathroom and go back to bed? When's the last time your plans got interrupted? And instead of cursing at the flat tire, you said, God, what are you trying to do right now? You trying to slow me down? You trying to slow me down? When's the last time something came up and you said, God, what are you trying to do? What is your will? What are you doing? I want to be a part of it. I want to see it. James chapter 2, or no, chapter 1, sorry. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. You're listening right now, so don't deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Sounds like some of us when we go to church. You come to church, you hear the message, you leave, you can't talk about it, you don't know what's going on. You're like, I don't remember. Oh, I don't remember that moment with God where he called me out in my heart, my life, and the conviction came upon me. I just thought it was indigestion, so I went to the bathroom. You walk away and you forget what you look like. What you look like is who God called you to be. That's who we're all striving to be, right? At the beginning of the message, I said, whole thing is our purpose and what we were created for is to be in relationship with God. That's what we were created for. And seeking any other purpose, guess what? Here's the thing. You could take anything, maybe not anything, but you could take a lot of different things and use it for something else, right? Like, you could take a chair. What is a chair meant for? It's meant for sitting in. But you could take a chair and, I don't know, use it as a baseball bat. Guess what? You could probably hit the ball. It's just like you. You were created for a purpose, but you're allowing yourself and choosing to work for a different purpose. And yeah, it might function, but it's not what your purpose was. It's not what you were created for. You were created to be in relationship with God, bring glory to him, and expand the kingdom. You're created for this. The purpose that you have. And living a purposeless life, depressed, anxious, seeking validation from anything and anyone, numbing. These are all ways that we deal with that. Numbing, alcohol, drugs, relationships, pornography, all these different things that we can turn to numb ourselves because we're living without purpose and what we're doing is not validating, not fulfilling. Dude, I'm a pastor, okay? Which could be a great job and a bad job all in one. But I would say that it is very fulfilling to work with people and see them change and grow and all that stuff. It's very fulfilling. It's so fulfilling to see that. But I can't tell you how many times I've still written my resignation letter. Why? Because my purpose, my genuine, deep down, created purpose was not to be a pastor. It was to be in relationship with God. And when I forget to feed my relationship with God because I am blinded by doing work for him in the vocational sense as a pastor is different than me opening my Bible every day, fasting and praying, getting fed by God. That's different than me being a pastor. And so when I neglect those things and I keep being a pastor and doing the pastoral work, I'm burnt out, as fulfilling as it is. I get burnt out, and then I got to recalibrate. I got to sit down with boss man and be like, Dad, I need help. And he just, act like a man. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm just kidding. He comes from a different era of pastors. Because you know what? I'm still learning. I'm still learning to be a better pastor. I'm not a great pastor by any means. Okay? I got a lot of work to go. I got a lot of things to learn. My dad's been doing this, I don't know, he used to minister to cavemen, but like he's been doing this. He's been doing this for a minute, all right? And he has taught me so much. He has mentored me so much. I'm really going to expose myself here. But I really have no formal training. I didn't go to college. I went to 1 year of college up in Minneapolis and said, uh-uh. And yes, 90% of it was the fact that it was Minneapolis. But really, it was a whole bunch of reasons why. And then I was going to go to a different college. And then I didn't go to that one because I got offered an internship here after my dad said no to the deacon board 5 times. And then they finally said, no, we should do this. And my dad's like, fine, internship only. I could tell you stories about those early days of the requirements he had for me. Anyway, it was not a cakewalk by any means. A lot of people think my dad just handed me that job. And no, he hit me with it. That's what he did. He slammed it on the desk and he said, you better do a good job. That's what he did. And then legit, the deacon board said, let's do this. And he said no like 4 to 5 times. But wasn't because he didn't love me or trust me. Anyway, but doing this, and I've learned from my dad something very important that he believes and that he stands by as a pastor. And I want you to know that you're lucky. You're blessed. And I'm not saying that just because I'm biased because it's my dad, but because I, as a pastor now in this district, in no judgment or criticism to other people, but I have witnessed other pastors and how they work and how they do their job. And then I see how he does his job. And understand this. There are a lot of pastors that preach on a Sunday, do the Bible study on a Wednesday, and you would never hear from them outside of that. You wouldn't see them outside of that. There are a lot of pastors that their ministry is pulpit ministry, and that's it. My dad has ingrained for me since day one when I was doing youth. He's like, it's Monday. What kids did you call today? Who did you take fishing? Who did you go to a movie with? Who did you play video games with? Who did you go hang out with? What are you doing tomorrow? What youth kid are you picking up? Who are you calling tonight? Who are you going to take? To the point where I had nothing to do, so I would just call the kid that lived closest to me, one of my great friends. It was Isaac McPherson. When he was a youth student, and I'd be like, dude, do you just want to go to Walmart with me? Yeah, bro. That became our hangout spot. Like, I would pick up 3-4 youth kids in my single cab truck, and we would drive to Walmart, and we'd just walk around, buy some IBC cream sodas, go find a basketball hoop, and play. Go to movies with some kids. I would stay up all night playing video games with some kids. It wasn't just when I preached on Wednesday, that's the only time those kids heard from me. Is Sunday the only time God hears from you? And not just your wish list prayer. Not just praying before your meal. There is nothing wrong with prayer and petition to God over things that you desire, want, or especially desire and want for other people. That is a purpose of prayer and a use of prayer, but it's not the only prayer that we're called to. Called to do. This isn't a sermon in deep dive on all the different types of prayer, so we're not going to get into that. Maybe sometime, maybe boss man will pick that up later on. But really, I remember there was a kid, I grew up, my dad liked to fish, and especially before I was born, when he was in Canada, he would fish all the time and all this stuff. And when I was a kid, I just didn't have the patience for it, of course, right? Like most kids. And then as I got older, there was a youth student, Jake Burke. Me and him went down to Fisherman's Park, and I remember I caught my first, it was a smallmouth bass. You remember that? That thing was like this big. And I threw it down below the dam in Sparta, and I caught a smallmouth bass, and I was like, yo, this is awesome. That was actually really fun. I got so heavy into fishing. Then there were some other youth kids and all this different stuff, and I'd fish, and I would talk to them about it, and I'd hang out, and I'd play video games, and I would talk to this kid. So then all of a sudden, camp rolled around. And this kid would come Wednesdays, not come Wednesdays, come Wednesdays, not come Wednesdays, and I would fish. It's not Jake, sorry. Jake is the one that got me into fishing. I'm talking about a different kid. And I remember, it wasn't just Wednesdays. I would message him. I would talk to him. We'd play video games. We'd do all this stuff. And then at camp one night, there's an altar call. People are responding. And he goes out. And I go chase him down and I talk to him. And he turns around and he just breaks down in my arms. And then he goes on to tell me about all the things going on. The suicidal thoughts about his mom telling him he's worthless and saying you should just kill yourself. And how his dad is not around at all. And how these people are saying this and these people are doing that. And his mom just tells him all the time, you should just kill yourself. And he's struggling with these thoughts. And he's struggling with how he looks. And he's struggling with who he is. And he's just going through it. That would have never happened if I only preached on Wednesdays. I promise you that would have never happened. It would have never happened. And so I want you to know something. For your own personal relationship, it is good that you seek God outside of Sunday, but it's also the best for other people. It's the best for this world. They don't need a bunch of Sunday church-going Christians. They need people who live on fire. Zeal for my Father's house will consume me. It is the whole purpose and the reason that we are here. We are created to be in relationship with God. And in that relationship with God, we go through the process of working towards becoming more like him. It's called sanctification. That's the Christianese word, okay? But really, sanctification is that process. But if we just stall out, say, I got saved and I reached a point where I'm feeling all right, and we just stay stagnant, there's a reason why we're so insulated and bubbled in. And now I've been doing interim youth pastor for like 9 months. And these kids, they're numb to everything. I preach like this. I get loud, I get rowdy, or I get quiet and meaningful and all these different things. And it's... That's what it is. I'm like, I'm not faulting them. Somebody raised them. They need to see what it is to seek God with passion and fervor. It's some of the best parenting advice I ever got. There was this gal with her like niece or whatever, and she was like, I don't know what, she was talking to her boyfriend at the time, and she's like, I don't know what to do. I got to go to the dentist. I got this kid that I'm supposed to watch. I don't know what to do. Like, there's no fun. There's nothing. And her boyfriend looked at her like, most of the time, they just want to spend time with you. Turned to the kid and said, would you like to go to the dentist with us? Absolutely. Has the time of their life. Like a month ago on a Wednesday beforehand, I'm talking to these youth students, this group of youth students. And I'm like, hey, like, we're talking about food and the best fast food burger, and you can say what you want. It's fine. You could be wrong, but I'm just messing around. But really, I'm a sucker for a Whopper. I mean, they're all gross, so don't respond like you're holier than thou, okay? All right? They're all probably not, no, definitely not good for you, okay? But I like a Whopper, all right? So I said, yeah, Whoppers are my favorite in town. And like three of them were like, I've never had a Whopper. One was like, I'm not allowed to have a Whopper. So I said, let's go to Burger King. To be fair, the kid that said that was my niece. So I was okay getting in trouble there. But I was like, let's go. We load up in my no AC having, no windows working, 1985 Mercedes. Disgusting car. I need to clean it out since hunting season. There might be a faint scent of doe urine. Anyway, but really, load up, we go to Burger King. I'm like, each one, two, three, four. One of the best parts of it was, is I'm going out of the parking lot, and I see this one youth student just doing circles, figure eights in the parking lot. And I'm like, what is he doing? Or, well, first I didn't know who it was, and then the kids told me, no, that's Cole. Anyway, and I'm like, what is he doing? What is he doing? Ask Aaron Schnitzler how that goes. He almost took out a light pole 10 years ago. Anyway, I was there for it too. But really, like, I'm like, what is he doing? He parks. Here's the best. Here's one of my favorite parts about this story. Is I open the door. Again, windows don't work. Open the door, and I said, Cole, get in. Okay. No idea what we were doing. He just said, okay. I'm like, that's my guy. I said, that's my guy right there. You don't know if we're going 3 hours to get pie or if we're going, who knows, all right? That's something my dad did once. Anyway, beside the point, we go to Burger King, and I ordered like 10 Whoppers. It was Whopper Wednesday, so yeah. It took like 30 minutes to get our food. But we got it. We come back. I'm like, they gave us the biggest bag. Like, I'm like, you could have just put it in a normal bag, but they gave us like one of the big brown shopping bags, like catering. I'm like, ooh, we're walking into church with this. This is going to look funny. So I was like, quick, get it into the kitchen. It wasn't like I wanted to leave out all the other kids, but it was like, I didn't get enough, and I ain't got it like that. We're not doing it. Anyway, okay. So quick, get in the kitchen. We're going to eat them, and we're eating them, and we're doing the whole thing. And they're laughing. They're having a good time. These kids were rowdy as all get out. And I'm like, yo, y'all are acting like this is the best time of your life. We just went and got burgers. What life do you live that getting burgers is the peak? What? Like, yeah, it's fun and spontaneous, but I'm like, yo, there's this abandoned place in, like, Rock. Never mind, I'm not going to tell that story. Okay, I'm just saying, when I was in high school, like, we're having some fun. We're doing some spontaneous things. Even when I was youth pastor, jump in. I don't know. It's a Saturday. Yeah, I feel like pie. Let's go to Norsky Nook. I don't know. We got nowhere else to be. Oh, the top of the middle school? Why? No, I'm just kidding. Ish. But, like, it's just things that you do and you find, you build relationship. Now, I'm not encouraging any illegal behavior. But I'm saying, like, this relationship building thing, this thing, it's got to be outside of just Sunday with God. Because then it also affects other people. Quit compartmentalizing God. You can compartmentalize other things in your life, but don't compartmentalize God. We have to be attached to Him for anything else to really be successful. And not from the world standards, but from a spiritual standard, which is what we're here for, right? If your goal is just to stack cash and, like, have the biggest house and the cars and the this and that, well, then good for you. And if you're just in a relationship with God so that He blesses you like that, then I gotta let you know, you're missing out. You're missing out on what actually matters. Jesus told a story about a rich man who had a bountiful harvest. And he stored it up, and he built new sheds to store all these things so that he could just live in his riches and retire. And you know what happened next? He died. And when he got to heaven, all of his sheds were there. No, they weren't. They weren't. None of that was there. And Jesus tells this story to reiterate what we store up on earth, we're going to lose. What we store up in heaven, we get to keep forever. That's what matters. And so what is so important throughout your week that you're not seeking God and spending time with Him and being intentional and reading His Word? That's the stuff that's going to mean something. That's the stuff you store up. What about the people you're going to bring with you to heaven? What about those people that need to hear the gospel message, but you're so busy with your schedule and 2 hours here, 1 hour there, we got to get here at this time, we got to do this, we got to do that. There's nothing wrong with being organized, but when you try to organize God, the Holy Spirit, it's not how it works, and it doesn't work, and you can't do it. So guess what you're actually doing? You're just not participating in what God wants to do, which goes against the very purpose we were created for. So what we're seeing, what we're doing, we gotta make a difference. We gotta make a change to our lives and what we do. You can't just seek Him on Sunday. Seek Him on Monday, Tuesday. Push in. Really? If your Christianity only exists in these four walls, it's not Christianity, it's a costume. You dress up and play the part. Knock it off. Like, we can't do that. We can't do that. I mean, we can. It's possible to do that. But we shouldn't. It's not what we're called to do. You want to reach people? You want to see lives change? You want to see a generation come that is going to change the world? That's what they used to always preach to me and the generations right after me whenever we were in youth. They'd be like, you're going to be world changers, world changers, world changers. Now they can't even change their pants. Like, what are we? And I'm not trying to rip on a generation. I'm just saying, like, what are we doing? Monkey see, monkey do with these youth kids. And because I'm in the interim, that's why I'm preaching so hard about that right now, is because it matters. And so some of you parents in here, you know what? It sucks, but the worst part about being a parent is recognizing when we did something wrong and we're not doing good enough. And nobody likes to do that as a parent. We don't like to. It's scary. Trust me. I pray every single day, God, please have grace over my kids that I don't screw them up. But really, to be renewed in our mind and transformed, right? That's what the word says. Put off our old self, crucify our flesh. Crucifying the flesh. I had this great conversation with somebody like a week ago. We talked about crucifying the flesh, and I had this moment where I explained it like this. When you look at Jesus being crucified, it wasn't just a one tap, he's dead. Right? This was an elongated process of torture that ended in death. So when the word of God says to crucify your flesh, don't think you get to just kill it and you're done. It is an elongated process of torture that will end in death. Crucify the flesh. Your flesh is going to fight and kick and scream and squirm and fight you back, find the comfort. No, you're not a failure. You're just tired. It's okay. It's somebody else's fault. All these different things. And we're just going to seek self-preservation over seeking God's face? We can't do it anymore. It's time to get real and get honest with yourself. See what you're doing for the next generation, what you're doing for the people around you by living out Christianity and seeking God every day of the week. You can stand up with me all over this room. Don't be a dog. Don't leave here today and return to your vomit. It's so gross, but I love it. It's such a good description because you're so repulsed by that, aren't you? If only you were that repulsed by you returning to your sin. God wants to do something with you. And it's not an extravagant thing to be a part of it. It's very simple. Just read his word, pray and fast, worship, and seek him outside of the 2 hours that everybody else does it for you. I mean, she leads in worship, sings the songs. We put the songs on the screen. She plays wonderfully and does all this stuff and does the worship thing for you. Like, she's doing it for God. I can't see her heart, but I know Chelsea. I'm sitting here praying for weeks, like, Lord, please give me a sermon so I don't show up and there's nothing. Give me some Bible verses. Like, Lord, I need to see a pattern here in these Bible verses that are standing out to me. I don't understand how they connect. And then all of a sudden, but I'm doing it for you. You got to do it for yourself. Open your Bible tomorrow. Open it today. Spend time in prayer. Put on the worship music. Seek God outside of Sunday and watch how your life changes. And then from there, how you change the world.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you
you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.